from deep inside your radio.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen, and there's some things we must take care of right here at the beginning. One is, this is the big day in supposedly in, I'm going to use a metaphor now, Hollywood. And just to clarify, there are two Hollywoods. There's the Hollywood that's the metaphor, and there's the Hollywood that's trying to secede from Los Angeles, which is so unmetaphorical that the geographical confines of that Hollywood do not include the Hollywood sign. The Los Angeles they're trying to secede from, if they in fact do, is the city with the highest paid city council in the country. We are busting our buttons. The highest paid, come on. Who pays people more to do less than we do? That's right. Nobody. But there has been contention and disruption and all sorts of foofaroo surrounding this year's Academy Awards, trademark. And you have to say that now. You can't say the word Oscar, trademark, without saying trademark, trademark. Imagine if Oscar, trademark, Levant was alive today. He would have to re-trademark his own name. Anyway, much of the contention has been about the tactics used to campaign for or against various nominees for these awards. And a spokesman for Imagine Films, which produced one of the nominees for Best Picture, says, "We've all watched the complete deterioration of the morality of marketing the Academy. At the end of the day, we have to protect the Oscar. I don't think we want people to lose confidence in what the Oscar stands for." That's a frightening prospect, isn't it? Losing confidence in what Oscar stands for. Well, we know he has no sexual organs, so we know that he stands for that. Another interesting quote today, General Tommy Franks, hold the beans, the commander of the U.S. operation in Afghanistan. This, I guess you would have to if it's not a flip-flop, it's at least a march back. Because as I understood it when we went into this thing, we really wanted Osama bin Laden's hiney. We wanted the whole body. I believe the three words that ring in my memory are dead or alive. Isn't that what we wanted? Today, Tommy Franks told an interviewer on television, on one of the yak shows, "It would be convenient for us to have Osama bin Laden. He's like a snack food now. He's like a microwavable, he's like toaster waffles or microwave popcorn. He's convenient. Let's enjoy some convenience with Osama bin Laden." So, you know, everything evolves, ladies and gentlemen. If we're not back to normal, and on a personal note, I'd like to thank everybody who's helped me get the word out in the last few days and weeks about my little independent comedy film, which is opening this Friday in New York City and a week from Friday in Los Angeles and San Francisco. The film is called Teddy Bear's Picnic. Again, as I say, thanks to everybody who's helped to get the word out, and to those of you who have had other fish to fry, enjoy the bones. Hello, welcome to the show.
Respect every Woman, get to hell of the flesh. You come here swelling your best. You don't know that this is a dance, but you stand up in the place like if you in trance. This is carnival, all right. Everybody tight, tight, tight. And the music blasting like hell. Every day with your tulips swell. I tell you, dance, dance. Look, woman, dance, dance. And if you don't know how to dance, you jump and prance. If they jam, you jam them back. And if they bounce, you bounce them back. All right, anything they do, you just do them back. Woman, get up and shake your leg. You dance, you don't have to beg. It have a plenty man day. Hold on to one and make you play. Carnival is with pep. Man easy to get. If any woman try to jam you, don't be afraid, you jam them back too. I tell you, dance, dance. Look, woman, dance, dance. You better jump and dance like pepper in your pants. And if they squeeze you, squeeze them back. And if they feel you, feel them back. All right, anything they do, you just do them back. Hey! Bumba bay! Oh, lady! Woman, what you talking at all? Remember, this is carnival. You could jump people with ease. You don't say sorry, or if you please. Woman, dance, dance. And if you don't know how to dance, you jump and prance. Man, if they jam, you jam them back. And if they bounce, you bounce them back. All right, anything they do, you just do them back.
Everybody's in movies, doesn't matter who you are. There are stars in every city, in every house and on every street. And if you walk down Hollywood Boulevard, their names are written in concrete. Don't step on Greta Garbo as you walk down the boulevard. She looks so weak and fragile, that's why she tried to be so hard. But they turned her into a princess, and they sat her on a throne. But she turned her back on stardom, because she wanted to be alone. You can see all the stars as you walk down Hollywood. And some who suffered in vain. Rudolph Valentino looks very much alive, and he looks up ladies' dresses as they sadly pass him by. Avoid stepping on Bela Lugosi, 'cause he's liable to turn and bite. Such a lonely life. If you covered him with garbage, George Saunders would still have style. And if you stamped on Mickey Rooney, he would. would still turn round and smile. But please don't tread on dearest Marilyn, cause she's not very tough. She should have been made of iron or steel, but she was only made of flesh and blood. You can see all the stars as you walk down Hollywood. In vain. Everybody's a dreamer, and everybody's a star, and everybody's in showbiz. It doesn't matter who you are. And those who are successful, be always on your guard. Success walks hand in hand with failure along Hollywood Boulevard. I wish my life was a non-stop Hollywood movie show. Fantasy world of celluloid villains and heroes. Because celluloid heroes never feel any. Celluloid heroes never feel any pain. And celluloid heroes never really die.
From the edge of America, from the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer. Is it pronounced Shearer? From Pensacola Beach, Florida, to his local public radio station. Dear sirs, I cannot make a contribution until your Sunday announcer learns how to pronounce the last name of the host of Sunday's Le Show, Harry Shearer. It is very hard for me to understand why he has not yet picked up on the correct pronunciation, since Mr. Shearer says it at the start of every show. Maybe he's not listening. I hope that's the answer, because the alternative is a not very complimentary comment on the value of a University of West Florida education. It is for this reason I get so perturbed when your announcer can't even show Mr. Shearer the basic respect of not horribly violating the pronunciation of his name every time he mentions it. It is not pronounced Shearer. I will leave it up to him to research the correct pronunciation, then I will gladly contribute. From Pensacola, Florida, forwarded by the Director of Member Services of the station, who I believe has corrected the problem. So, hello, I'm Harry Shearer with this edition of Le Shearer. You know, a lot of the things that people are reacting with alarm about with regard to this administration do tend to get ironed out as time goes on, oddly enough. This week, for example, the Defense Department issued new revised plans for the military tribunals. Of course, there haven't been any military tribunals yet, so So that's A. B, the new revised plans issued by the Defense Department this week for any such tribunals that will be held to try suspected terrorists. And among the emendations in the new regulations, accused will be entitled to hire a private attorney. Unfortunately, that attorney is Nedra Ruiz. But still, it's a big, big step forward. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've had a lot of correspondence this week, and as we hit springtime, this subject will die again for another year. So this would be probably the last roundup of submissions on the subject of why flu is a wintertime kind of thing, why wintertime is flu season. You know, we've had a lot of lack of success in nailing this down. Here's a molecular biologist who says, I honestly don't know if colds are more prevalent in the winter. However, influenza does have a definite seasonal cycle with a winter maximum. The CDC publishes weekly national statistics on mortality and morbidity for a number of diseases, including the flu, and it is prevalent in the winter. It's not due to any direct potentiating effect of cold on disease virulence, nor to any cold-induced compromising of the immune system. I did ask my colleagues about this, and they basically said it primarily results from the closer proximity of people to each other during the winter. You need to go to a molecular biologist to know that they don't know that people are together in the summertime in the South because of the air conditioning. We've been through this. Here's another submission on the subject. I believe it's partly the neuropsychological effect of short days and the depression that comes with it. Interesting. Countries at higher latitudes when days are shorter have higher suicide rates and alcoholism due to winter depression. And I think it's very likely that people's immune responses are not as strong when they're less active, sad, eating too much, and drinking away their sorrows. That's suggestive. A dietary deficiency in an essential trace mineral may cause a usually harmless strain of the flu to mutate into a virulent pathogen. Studies have suggested that pathogens called, you don't want me to, Coxsackie viruses, I did it, may be more likely to mutate in hosts that are short on selenium, a metal involved in producing protective compounds called antioxidants. Recent research suggests a similar tendency toward mutation for at least one strain of influenza virus. Selenium deficiency is prevalent in China, where many worldwide outbreaks of flu originate, according to Melinda Beck of the University of North Carolina. Hey, Tar Heels, are people more likely to have dietary deficiencies in the winter? Well, in climes where they don't get fresh fruits and vegetables, maybe, but we get flu in California in the wintertime, and we got fresh fruits up the wazoo. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe we should take the fruit out of the wazoo. Influenza does tend to follow a more seasonal path. This could simply be part of the natural logical progression of many outbreaks of the disease. Many, though not all, flu epidemics originate in China, especially when pigs and other livestock, no, don't fly, they're brought into the house for the winter. Interesting. China isn't as modern as we thought. Waterfowl, especially ducks, carry the disease elsewhere. Ducks from both sides of the Pacific spend their summers in Alaska. The breeding colonies are very crowded and share all viruses very easily. Waterfowl are pretty much immune to the flu viruses they carry, and they carry it back to their winter homes in the fall. So it's the pig-duck connection. I think that's as good as we're... Either that or the seasonal affective disorder connection, somewhere in there. We'll leave that for next year, ladies and gentlemen. You do some research on your own, won't you? Because you'll be flu-free for the next 8 months. You'll have plenty of time to do it. The North Magnetic Pole could soon abandon Canada, joining reams of show business professionals. No, it would migrate north of Alaska and eventually wind up in Russia, according to a Canadian scientist, eh? The magnetic pole, which has steadily drifted for decades, has picked up its pace in recent years and could exit Canada as soon as 2004, says a scientist named, come on, I don't believe this. He's a geophysicist named... Oh, no, I said. I see. This is a misprint. This is not the guy's real name. They didn't print the guy's real name. All right. So, anyway, the North Magnetic Pole is leaving Canada. Because it could get more work in Alaska, I guess. Isn't that the reason they all... Well, we know that we don't want to strike at the belief in what Oscar really stands for. But how about in what HBO really stands for? Kevin Pollak and Aidan Quinn are blasting home box office, calling its Project Greenlight series, in which it was a documentary about the making of a movie, a fabricated and manipulative mockumentary designed to show tension that did not really exist on the set of their film. HBO created drama and built a case with editing, said Pollack. They made Aiden out to be Richard III, and they used something I said that was so out of context I was floored. I could not believe it. They succeeded wildly in creating an unbelievably entertaining show. All of that is fantastic. So if the series raises the awareness, then it outweighs the negative, and my little personal concerns don't rule the day. Quite frankly, I know never to do this again to myself. Admitting the Project Greenlight generated a lot more publicity for Stolen Summer than most low-budget films usually receive. I'll say, Pollack said he was concerned that the series also made the movie look like a train wreck. Well, give a little, get a little. Ladies and gentlemen, you probably heard by now, Wall Street Week with Louis Rukeyser is being restructured without Louis Rukeyser. Now, you know, I haven't watched this show since I was housebound, but he was told of this decision, Louis Rukeyser was, the Wednesday before his last program on Friday. That's notice. They actually let him go on the air and slam them, which I thought was kind of advanced for broadcasting. But now I want to just spend a moment here on the verbiage of the spokesperson at Maryland Public Television, Jeff Hankin, actually Maryland Public Television's vice president of marketing and branding. This public television has a vice president of marketing and branding. If you haven't thrown up your hands in the air already and shook them like you just don't care, listen to this. They're doing this because the show is in a strong position and it needs to remain strong. Although when asked how many people watch the show, he said, in quantity? I don't know. Yeah, how many usually is a question about quantity? Strong in terms of brand, he clarified. We want to see that brand continue in a very healthy fashion, and we want to see it grow. They did point out that the average age of the Fortune magazine reader, who they'll be co-producing the new version of the show with Fortune magazine, was 49. The average age of the current show audience is over 60. So it's a strong brand, but, you know. Now, I bring this up to contrast it with a person who whose obituary was published this week. Sylvester Pat Weaver, who was, if not the first, I'm over here for a moment, if not the first president of NBC, the first president of NBC who counted. Now, I don't mean counted in that way. I meant mattered. Now, you saw, probably if you saw the obituaries, he invented the Today Show. He invented the Tonight Show. He invented the special. He invented a lot of different kinds of live television. And all that's true. And then, for his trouble, he got kicked out of his position because the owner of NBC at the time, General Sarnoff, needed a job for his son. Now, the amazing thing that nobody pointed out in these obituaries is, here's the guy who invented most of modern television, gets kicked out of his job, gets kicked upstairs after about 4 or 5 years on the job. Neither of the other two networks said, hey, there's a genius loose, let's hire him. Act two of his television life was he tried to invent pay TV, but was stymied by the broadcasters and the movie theaters, which put a proposition on the California ballot that outlawed his business, a proposition that was declared unconstitutional shortly after he lost all his money on that business. So that was nice. But the other thing that wasn't in the noted so totally in the obituaries. I was a fan of Sylvester Weaver's just because he did so many great things in broadcasting. He also invented, this was not noted in the obituaries, he invented modern radio. When he was running NBC, radio was still shows done with studio audiences and live orchestras and the sound effects man. And people were stopping to listen to that kind of stuff because there was TV. So the question was, what's going to replace it? And he figured out a magazine format that had news and music and comedy, but hosted from inside a little closet, much like the one I'm sitting in now. Basically, he invented All Things Considered and Morning Edition and virtually every other show you hear on public radio. Invented that format. Did that too. But every time you saw Sylvester Weaver talk about television or radio, and he was the head of a commercial enterprise, the noun he used was service, a television service, a radio service. Now, maybe that was just fancy talk, and back in the back room, he was as interested in branding and marketing as Maryland Public Television is today. But maybe not. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for me to read the trades for you. Now, this isn't me talking, this is me reading. But if any of this sounds familiar, this is what I've been saying for years on this broadcast about digital television. Here it is, all in one neat package from TV Technology Magazine. Broadcast digital TV, it's time to go on the record. I'll read it for you. Here we go again. Another convention of the National Association of Broadcasters, another embarrassing go-around for the digital television transition. Privately, many of the nation's best broadcast engineers now shake their heads in disgust. How, they ask, could something have gone so terribly wrong? And why can't it be fixed? Very few industry figures of credibility will publicly express their honest opinions about digital television anymore. It's a political hot potato. Too many mistakes have been made. Too much money wasted. Too much crow to be eaten. Never before in broadcasting have so many conversations begun with, "This will have to be off the record." You understand why. One respected veteran broadcast engineer put it this way: "This is not a good scene to be dealing with. Trade show after trade show, we spend hundreds of thousands of dollars pretending things are getting better, while the broadcasters and consumers remain confused and skeptical. It's time for all associated with the transition to digital television to call a halt, fix problems, finish writing critical standards, have cable, satellite, and broadcast harmonize their efforts and standards. If this takes another 4 years, so be it. To do nothing will simply ensure pain for all of us for the foreseeable future." There's even suspicion that upcoming enhancements to the flawed 8VSB transmission system, that's the system we use in this country for digital television, unlike most of the rest of the world, will actually make the situation worse. "I am willing to bet that HD, high-definition TV, cannot be supported," an engineer speculated about the eventual changes. "Can you imagine such a stupid decision being made?" Remember, it was the promise of HDTV that kicked off interest from Congress in mandating this transition in the first place. Others think it's too late to fix what's already a sinking ship. "I would suggest that total confusion exists in the consumer marketplace," said a senior executive for a leading equipment manufacturer. "I have seen content in the stores with an HDTV logo burned into the image that was, in fact, not HD. Salespeople will say anything to please the customer." With the recent relaxation of FCC's transition rules, loosening the deadline, this executive said skepticism has escalated. "This is a joke. Already there are reception problems related to power levels being too low. Along comes the FCC to say, you can go even lower for some period. What does the poor consumer do when he can't receive the digital channel? He gives up and returns his set. Are we crazy?" There there was agreement among off-the-record sources that a genuine resolution to the broadcast industry's problems is not going to come from existing organizations. Repeatedly, we heard suggestions for an appointed digital television czar with the status and power to force the resolution of standards and copyright protection issues among various players in the television industry. Tom Ridge might be available. This could be done with some head bashing and a desire to solve the problems, an engineer said. This person would have to be tough, very tough. For a while, he would be vilified, and then, if successful, he'd become a hero. Another executive suggested the industry designate an official rest period to sort out the issues. Time out, kids. Who would have the intestinal fortitude to suggest this? I don't know, but it's possible if some people swallow their pride, the FCC, Consumer Electronics Association, and the National Association of Broadcasters could make it happen. They'd have to get past the problem that would be viewed politically as a delay. Another problem is convincing consumers that digital television is for real. Consumers must be protected while the industry sorts out its technical problems. We must promise that current products will be replaced free of charge when we have a standard we can be proud of, the executive said. I don't know who would fund this. But if we move quickly, the cost could be minimal. I'd say about the price of one day's war in Afghanistan should do it. Is that the good news or the bad news? I can't tell when I read their trades for you. A copyrighted feature.
Never dug the moonlight, couldn't make the June night. Then you came and broke the ice. I gotta admit, it's crazy. A little bit square, but nice. Out from undercover, I became a lover, listening to your advice. I gotta admit, I like it. A little bit square, but nice. How could Cupid slip one into this old heart? How could such a hip one the dart, then fall apart? Guess I made a boo-boo when I dug the voodoo. Now I'm digging shoes and rice. I gotta admit, it's crazy. A little bit square, but nice. I gotta admit, it's crazy. A little bit square, but nice. I gotta admit, I like it. A little bit square, but nice. How could Cupid slip one into this old heart? How could such a hip one catch the dart, then fall apart? Guess I made a boo-boo when I dug the voodoo. Now I'm digging shoes and rice. I gotta admit, it's crazy. A little bit square, but nice.
And now another copyrighted feature. I'm getting tired of copywriting. My copywriting hand's getting exhausted.
We're so sorry.
It's the apologies of the week. Let's start with the trivial ones. Former South Carolina coach Eddie Fogler, serving as a color analyst for CBS Sports, apologized after he was seen scribbling expletives on the telestrator during a timeout of last Sunday's Georgia-Southern Illinois NCAA tournament game. The words he scribbled didn't go over the air, but it was seen by some watching on satellite. Why would anybody do that? Gee, that doesn't sound fair. Anyway, he's apologized. San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown apologized for a comment he made about the city of Miami last week. A reporter from Paris told Brown he was afraid to visit San Francisco because of the crime. Brown told the reporter he must be confusing San Francisco with Miami. After being criticized for the remark by the mayor of Miami and others, Brown said he was referring to an infamous murder case in which a tourist was robbed and killed in Miami. He says he never meant to suggest that Miami was dangerous and says he should have taken time to organize his thoughts before speaking. That's always good advice. A Saudi Arabian newspaper editor has issued a backhanded apology for a column published last week which resurrected the medieval blood libel against Jews by claiming they use the blood of Christian or Muslim mature adolescents to prepare special Purim pastries. Al-Riyadh editor-in-chief Turki Al-Sudairi wrote that the article written by someone else at King Faisal University was, quote, not fit to print, unquote. Chris Matthews, television loudmouth, apologized for slamming Ted Koppel and Jim Lehrer. He said of Koppel, I've already rerun twice before Koppel's got his act together. If you can't make it in the market, go to work for public television for $200,000 a year instead of $7 million. And on Lehrer's NewsHour show, what is it, 8 hours long? I never sat all the way through it. Matthews has apologized to both. Said Ted a lovely letter and visited Jim Lehrer in person. Thomas V. Daley, the Roman Catholic Bishop of Brooklyn, issued a mea culpa for his actions while serving in Boston when a pedophile priest was shuffled from parish to parish, acknowledged the pain caused by such sexual abuse. The main governing body of the Anglican Church in Australia offered an apology to victims of sexual abuse in a major act of damage control. The church regrets that there have been instances of abuse involving some Anglican clergy, church officers, and institutions, and apologizes to all victims of such misconduct for their ongoing hurt and the breakdown in pastoral relationships. The church is sorry that in some places it has failed in the past adequately to respond to claims of abuse. This is the Australian Anglican Church. A Roman Catholic priest who sexually abused young boys in Melbourne for more than 20 years won't flee prosecution. He has fled to Britain. The Catholic Church in Australia has so far paid out more than $50,000 in compensation, provided counseling, and made formal apologies to victims whose lives were shattered by Father Ronald Dennis Pickering. He's now Pickering in Britain, apparently. And the Boston Archdiocese, which hasn't apologized yet, I don't think, has responded to its pedophilia scandal with a public relations campaign known as Operation Restore Trust. More on this next here on Le Show.
We're coming to you tonight from Los Angeles, home of three of my wives and four of my bypasses. A little later in the hour, the great Sergio Franchi. But right now, an important panel to discuss the latest accusations against members of the Catholic clergy relating to child molestation. From San Ynez, California, in his first public appearance since the last time he appeared in public, the great entertainer and king of pop, Michael Jackson.
Good evening, Larry.
Good evening, Michael.
You did say king of pop, didn't you?
I sure did. It's right on the prompter.
Good. Then I can stay.
That's a good thing for all of us. And joining us in our New York studio, the widow of the late Todd Beamer. I don't think we're going to have to say that much longer because she's becoming a legitimate celebrity in our own right, the great Lisa Beamer.
Hi, Larry. God bless you for having me again.
Lisa, congratulations are in order. I think with tonight's appearance, you have now officially made more appearances on this show than Tammy Faye Messner.
Congratulations, Lisa.
Oh, thanks, Michael, and thank you, Larry. Mm. I feel as though being on this program has very often taken away some of the pain and the challenge that's come from being on the Today Show.
And Michael, congratulations to you, too. Your last album was the first CD to debut on the charts at number one and then never make the charts again. That's get in, get out, boom. That's like the ultimate quick hit.
Larry, we would have stayed on the charts longer, but we got off for the children.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Okay, good segue. Of course, the king of pop is segues are going to be chopped liver. But, Michael, when you first heard about the growing scandal in the Catholic Church involving priests molesting young boys, What did you think? Because you're always thinking about the children of the world, especially the boys.
Oh, the girls too, Larry. I love all the children.
Ma'am.
It just made me so sad. I felt bad for all the boys who'd been so obviously handled so unprofessionally, so inconsiderately, you know. Where were the toys? Where were the wonderful attempts to sprinkle their lives with magic dust? And then, secondly, of course, Larry, just what bad lawyering.
Lisa, you wanted to come on to talk about this tonight. Have you had any personal experience in your family with anything like this?
No, Larry, thank God. That's one challenge I haven't had to face. I did want to say, though, while we had the chance, that we've succeeded in our most recent challenge. We did get the copyright for the phrase, Let's Roll.
Now, your book is called that, right?
Yes, but it won't be out till September.
Okay. But you were copywriting it just for the book title. You can't copyright a title.
That's right. We were trying to protect the overall merchandising usage to keep it respectful.
Okay, but Lisa, you got an opinion on what's going on in the church?
Well, of course, Larry.
Good.
It's the most tragic thing that can ever happen to a youngster, and I pray for all the victims of this and of everything else.
Michael, there was a time, it seems like another lifetime ago, it was before O.J., it was before JonBenet, for God's sake, when you were accused of something like what these priests have admitted to.
Well, it does seem a long time ago, Larry, and you know what? We're not condoning or excusing or even understanding what these clergy did.
Mm-hmm.
Kids, you know, kids have the most wonderful imaginations, good and bad.
So you're saying these priests admitted to something that the kids might have only imagined?
No, I'm saying we should never do anything to spoil the magic. That's the one thing we should never do to our children.
Yeah, well, we shouldn't starve them either.
Or drown them in the bathtub.
There you go.
Well, to me, I guess that all comes under spoiling the magic.
Good point. Lisa Beamer, how has 9/11 changed your attitude toward pedophile priests?
Larry, you know, in the past few months, I guess I've become kind of, against my will, something of an expert on loss.
Yeah.
And something of an expert on how to get over the worst part of your life and move on. I wish I could just say to each and every person who is damaged in this way, two very important words. Let's roll.
Meaning, let's get over it, let's let bygones be bygones, let's not sue.
No, just however we're going to deal with it, let's roll.
Lisa, I know the great Neil Young has already written a song called Let's Roll.
He has, Mr. Jackson, and he's very graciously donated some of the proceeds to the Todd Beamer Foundation.
Uh-huh. But I'd love to write a song called Let's Roll, too.
Yeah.
Would you like that?
Oh, I think that would be just a great gift to all the children of America.
Well, under the terms of the deal we're working out with Sony, it would probably only be released in Asia, but still...
Lisa, before we wrap up this segment, what do you say to the victims who are going to come forward, who are going to have the spotlight fall on them as they reveal these horrible crimes, some of them probably on these very microphones?
Yeah.
What do you say about retaining your privacy after it's all over?
I don't know, Larry. I haven't really thought about that. Yeah. I do want to say, before we lose the satellite, that we've got our first licensee. There'll be a snack cake for sale in most Starbucks starting May 11th called Let's Rolls.
And Starbucks, very classy.
Oh, they're very good people.
Yeah.
So, I guess I'd say that going back to the way you were before something happened isn't necessarily either possible or desirable.
Oh.
That may not be part of God's plan for you. Mm-hmm. Maybe your destiny is to bloom in the new place where you've been planted and not, you know, I don't know.
Not end up on Celebrity Boxing.
No, that's right.
Where I've just heard my sister LaToya will be appearing.
Michael, is that confirmed?
I believe so.
because we love breaking news on this show. Michael, you engaged in your own form of damage control when you were faced by these kinds of allegations. What should the Catholic Church do now? I mean, they're paying $1 billion to the victims.
Well, like I said, Larry, bad lawyering. But, you know, trust has to be earned.
Yeah.
It has to be re-earned, one sermon, one performance at a time.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they've got to take the position that every time a priest doesn't do this, that's one for the good guys.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Larry, people basically want to trust you, especially in Asia, but anywhere, really.
Coming up, the great Aaron Brown in New York with Newsnight. The great Michael Jackson and Lisa Bima, thank you for joining us tonight for this most important topic. We're going to reschedule the great Sergio Franchi for another night. Tomorrow, a major retrospective of our shows about the late Princess Diana. Good night.
What we're living in, let me tell ya. Yeah, it's a world that man can eat at all, with things that big that should be small. Who can tell what magic spells we'll be doing for us? And I'm giving all my love to this world, only to be told I can't see, I can't breathe, nor my will we be. And nothing's gonna change the way we live, 'cause we can always take but never give. For the West Sea. Whoa, it's a crazy world we're living in, and I just can't see that half of us immersed in sin is all we have to give. These futures made of virtual insanity now always seem to gather about this love we have for useless twisting of our new technology. Oh, now there is no sound, but we all
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Choose Your Source time. It's who you want to believe or whom you want to believe. New tapes from the Nixon White House have President saying on May 26, 1971, you know, quote, you know, it's a funny thing. Every one of the bastards that are out for legalizing marijuana is Jewish. What the Christ is the matter with the Jews, Bob? He's asking Bob Haldeman. What is the matter with them? I suppose it is because most of them are psychiatrists. Unquote. Nixon also opines why marijuana is much worse than alcohol. People drink to have fun, but they smoke marijuana to get high. He repeats that particular analysis twice. September 9th, 1971, Nixon is meeting with former Pennsylvania Governor Raymond Schaefer, who heads a presidential commission on drug policy. Nixon has heard it might be considering the decriminalization of marijuana. You're enough of a pro, Nixon tells Schaefer, to know that for you to come out with something that would run counter to what Congress feels and what the country feels and what we're planning to do would make your commission just look bad as hell. He instructs Schaefer not to seek input from the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, which he thinks might be soft on drugs. As an old prosecutor, Nixon says, I don't mind somebody putting it in J. Edgar Hoover's hands, but I come down very hard on the side of putting it in hard-headed doctors rather than a bunch of muddle-headed psychiatrists. They're all muddle-headed, you know what I mean? Nixon was also concerned about other things. Northern California, he says, on May 13th, 1971, this is quoting Richard Nixon now, Northern California, he says, has gotten so faggy I won't shake hands with anybody from San Francisco. Then he starts talking about a TV show he has just started watching, apparently for the first time, All in the Family. Quote, Archie is sitting here with his hippie son-in-law married to the screwball daughter. The son-in-law apparently goes both ways. Another character in the show, Nixon reports, is, quote, obviously queer. He wears an ascot and so forth. I don't want this country to go that way. You know what happened to the Greeks? Sure, Aristotle was, this is Richard Nixon talking. Sure, Aristotle was a homo. We all know that. So was Socrates. And he goes on about the popes, which we won't quote. Because, enough of that. On the other hand, now that's one source. Here's another. Motorists who smoke a cannabis joint retain more control behind the wheel than those who drink a glass of wine, scientists have found. Research from the Transport Research Laboratory in London showed drivers found it harder to maintain constant speed and road position after drinking the equivalent of a glass of wine than after smoking a marijuana cigarette. This, according to New Scientist. That's what keeps them new.
É pau, é pedra, é o fim do caminho. É resto de toco, é pouco sozinho. É caco de vidro, é vida, é o sol. É noite, é morte, é laço, é anzol. É peroba do campo, nó da madeira. Cainga, candeia, é tita pereira. É madeira de vento, tombo da ribanceira. É mistério profundo, é queira ou não queira. É vento ventando, é fim da ladeira. É viga, é vão, festa da cumieira. É chuva chovendo, é conversa ribeira. Das águas de março, é fim da canseira. É pé, é chão, é marcha estradeira. Passarinho na mão, pedra de atiradeira. Uma ave no céu, uma ave no chão. É regato, é ponte, é pedaço de pão. É fundo do poço, é fim do caminho. No rosto desgosto, é pouco sozinho. É estrepe, é prego, é ponta, é ponto. É pingo pingando, é conta, é conto. É peixe, é gesto, é prata brilhando. É luz da manhã, é tijolo chegando. É lenha, é dia, é fim da picada. É garrafa de cana, o estilhaço na estrada. É projeto da casa, é corpo na cama. É carro enguiçado, é lama, é lama. É passo, é ponte, é sapo, é rã. É resto de mato na luz da manhã. São as águas de março fechando o verão. É promessa de vida no teu coração. É pau, é pedra, é fim do caminho. É resto de toco, é pouco sozinho. É cobra, é pau. É João, é José, é espinho na mão. É corte no pé. São as águas de março fechando o verão. É promessa de vida no teu coração. É pau, é pedra, é fim do caminho. É resto de toco, é pouco sozinho. É passo, é ponte, é sapo, é rã. É belo horizonte, é febre terçã. São as águas de março fechando o verão. É promessa de vida no teu coração. É pau, é pedra, é fim do caminho. É resto de toco, pouco sozinho. É pau, é pedra, é fim do caminho. É resto de toco, pouco sozinho. Pau, pedra, fim do caminho. Resto de toco, pouco sozinho. Pau, pedra.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations over NPR worldwide throughout Europe on the USAN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the American Forces Network, on shortwave WBCQ the planet at 7.415 megahertz, and on your computer whenever you want it, around the world at two locations, www.harryshearer.com and www.kcrw.com. And it would be just like me being my own vice president of branding and marketing for you to join me then, would you? All righty. Thank you very much. The C period Crane Company, not SEA, C period Crane Company is proud to support Le Show, offering long-range radios, antennas, and more for over 25 years. The C Crane Radio Light and Science Catalog is available online at ccradio.com or by calling 800-522-8863. The email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. Keep your attachments. The show Internet Services by Steve Mack. Hey, John Cleese got his property into the Hot Property column today, and his show premieres Wednesday. How does that happen? And there are no losers, just sore winners. Ladies and gentlemen, the show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless. Get your job.